Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Addition Financial, offering their Savings Plus account with a 4% annual percentage yield. Serving Central Floridians since 1937 and was recently named one of Newsweek's best regional credit unions. More at additionfi.com/NPR. Applicable on savings up to $5,000. Rate subject to change, federally insured by NCUA.
From the studios at WMFE in Orlando, Florida, this is the Space Exploration Podcast that asks the question, are we there yet? Hi, I'm Brendan Byrne. Let's talk about spacesuits. Astronauts on the International Space Station use a specialized suit called the Extravehicular Mobility Unit, or EMU, to work outside the space station safely. The suits were delivered to the station in the early 1980s and are in need of an upgrade. The suits made headlines earlier this year when what would be the first all-female spacewalk was postponed due to a lack of sizings for the innards of one of the EMUs. Florida Today space reporter Antonia Jarmillo took a look at the history of the suit, the challenges NASA faces upgrading the equipment, and what the agency is doing as it looks towards putting humans on Mars and the Moon in a piece she published earlier this month. She joins us now from the newsroom of Florida Today in Melbourne. Antonia, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me, Brendan.
So the story you wrote, it begins back in the 1980s with a fellow named Story Musgrave and his first spacewalk, but we come to find out that astronauts are using the same spacesuits. Bring us back to that moment.
Right. So the same NASA spacesuits that astronauts still use whenever they are conducting spacewalks on the International Space Station are the exact same ones that were used in the space shuttle program back in the 1980s. So technically these suits were actually first flown in 1981, but it wasn't until 1983 when the first space shuttle astronauts conducted their first space walk that they were in use. But yeah, they've been around for decades, and even though they have been refurbished and they've been refurbished throughout the years and everything, NASA hasn't, you know, upgraded the suits, and now as we head on to go to the moon, they definitely need to up their game.
Now, this has been common knowledge within NASA and within the astronaut corps that these suits were old and in dire need of updating, but the general public kind of got an idea of just how bad the situation was recently when there was supposed to be the first all-female spacewalk and the suits weren't able to accommodate both the spacewalkers. What happened there?
Right. So NASA, the first all-female spacewalk was supposed to happen last March with the NASA astronauts Anne McLean and Christina Koch. And the spacewalk did happen. It was with a female astronaut with Christina Koch and then the male astronaut Nick Hague. The problem was that there just weren't enough sizes or the same like suit size available for both female astronauts. They both needed medium-sized suits, and unfortunately there was only one medium-sized suit available for one of the astronauts. The other medium-sized suit aboard the space station would have needed extra time for configuration and test, and that would have just required more hours and delays probably. So they then decided just to replace Anne McLean with Nick Hague. But yes, that caused kind of a whole social media, you know, outburst. People were very upset and everything, and I think it definitely kind of brought this issue into the spotlight because aside from the fact that these suits have been in use for over 30 years, they're also now there just isn't that many available, as was evident during the all-female spacewalk cancellation.
Yeah, and I think we have to take a step back and talk a little bit about the design of the suits to kind of get a better understanding of this. But the issue with the all-female spacewalk was that there were the pieces available, but they weren't installed, because these are kind of like jigsaw puzzles, right? You know, you've got different pieces that connect to each other that create one suit. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, exactly. It's not like just one, you know, outfit that an astronaut puts on. It's a bunch of like detachable parts, like you said, like a jigsaw puzzle. So what was the problem was that they didn't have enough medium upper torso, which is essentially the shirt of the spacesuit. And to do that, it's not like, you know, it's not even just putting all these different parts together. There's also, like I said, they have to do a bunch of configuration tests and everything to get them all in the right size and make sure they're safe, because obviously, I mean, these spacesuits are vital, you know, for an astronaut whenever they step out into outer space. I mean, they need to survive in this thing or else they won't. So it was definitely, there was a risk factor and everything, and that's why then they decided to cancel it. But yes, exactly. It's a bunch of detachable parts so that it could theoretically be able to fit or accommodate many types of body sizes, but with a limited quantity available, then it still ends up preventing some people from being able to wear them.
And we should mention NASA came out after the switch was made and said, you know, this was due to safety, and both the astronauts, you know, understood the risks and challenges, and it was their decision to do this. But I think we should step back again, because you also you interviewed a former astronaut, Winston Scott, in your piece, and these spacesuits just kind of explain their purpose and just what it's like to be inside of one of these, because it doesn't sound very fun from the reporting that I read from your story.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. When I spoke with Winston, he did say, you know, these spacesuits are necessary to survive in, and because of that, though, they're very bulky, and he made sure kind of to emphasize, you know, they're very bulky and massive and everything, so they're heavy and uncomfortable to wear. And also, since they're a bunch of detachable parts, they aren't custom made for any astronauts like the spacesuits that were during the Gemini and Apollo programs. So because of that, there have been many issues, you know, with astronauts who wear the spacesuits. One of the main ones is kind of is aligning the joints with the suit itself. I mean, being able to just bend your hand is a problem for the astronauts whenever they wear these NASA spacesuits. And that was one of the things that Winston Scott always had a problem with, and many other astronauts as well throughout the years.
Yeah, they're kind of like mini space ships themselves, right? So that comes with its own set of challenges.
Exactly. Yes. I guess the best way to describe it, and the way that either, you know, the NASA scientists or the actual astronauts themselves describe it is a little mini spacecraft in itself. I mean, this is the first kind of line of defense that the astronaut has to protect them from the vacuum of space. And because of that, then there are a lot of things that are required to make sure that they can help, you know, keep the astronauts safe. But unfortunately, then it also comes with a lot of problems and issues, because it's not very comfortable. And that's the main thing that Winston kept, you know, reinforcing or reiterating, is that yes, you know, these spacesuits are necessary, they're vital, the astronauts need them, but they aren't that comfortable, and they should be updated, they should be, you know, better equipped to help, you know, serve the astronauts' need and help them, you know, do their work better, as opposed to, you know, restraining them from doing certain functions like being able to bend your hand or move your arm or bend your knee.
And through your reporting for this piece for Florida Today, you uncovered a handful of challenges in upgrading these, you know, three decades plus suits. I mean, what are some of the, you know, the hurdles that NASA faces in trying to upgrade these extravehicular suits?
Well, I mean, just when it comes to upgrading, I mean, the problem is that, you know, NASA has already known for years that they need to upgrade their suits. And back when they had the Constellation program or other programs, you know, for deep space exploration missions, NASA was also then trying then to have them the appropriate suit size for those missions. But because then those programs either got canceled or just a lack of funding, they were never able then to get developed. And also, one of the main problems has been there has never been a clear indication for the agency to know then, okay, which mission, which program are we going to be going to? Because it's not even just that the spacesuits right now, you know, aren't even that great for the astronauts who are currently using them. They also wouldn't be able to work for the next astronauts to go to the lunar surface or to go to another celestial body. And that's one of the things that NASA has always said. I mean, each suit is kind of designed for its own particular mission. So before, when NASA then didn't even have a clear idea of then which mission, which program they were going to be doing, it was hard then to develop the appropriate suit for that because they didn't know the restraints or the limitations or the appropriate measures they would need to make sure that this suit would be ready and perfect, you know, for the astronaut.
And another challenge you write about in the piece is that there really wasn't a supplier to bring the old suits back or send new suits up, right? These are big, bulky, very sensitive pieces of machinery, and there really aren't that many supply lines up to the space station, right?
Yes, exactly. Ever since the space shuttle program retired in 2011, that has also has unfortunately also prevented, you know, being able to then bring down the spacesuits and bring them back up to the International Space Station and refurbish them because yes, they don't have now that many suppliers to carry them to the ISS, and so that's been another issue. And then also some of the suits, the backpack, you know, kind of life support system that allows, you know, the astronaut to breathe and survive in their spacesuit, a few of them have also gotten destroyed in the Columbia and Challenger disaster or in the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket that exploded a few years ago. And so that's also then caused limitations because now there's a limited quantity available and they can't even then bring them down and bring them back up to the bring them back up to space in as frequently as they would like.
And you also mentioned this earlier in our conversation, is that these spacesuits are designed for a lot of work in a very harsh environment, but also to accommodate a wide number of astronauts. So the first spacesuits were designed for an astronaut corps in the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo programs, which there weren't that many astronauts. But now, as the space program continues, there's a lot more people going to space, so the suits have to be able to accommodate the dozens of different people that might, you know, throw them on, right?
Yes, exactly. And I believe that was, you know, one of the main problems and concerns and why people were very upset on social media when, you know, Anne McLean and Christina Koch weren't able to conduct the all-female spacewalk together because you're right, now the whole point of having these new NASA spacesuits, of having them be like these detachable parts that fit together like a puzzle, was to accommodate more people of different body sizes and everything. But it hasn't really worked out due to, you know, a lack of funding and then budget cuts. And, you know, before there used to be extra large, large, medium, small, and extra small sizes, but now there are only medium, large, and extra large. So that also then prevents, you know, some astronauts of, you know, of smaller body shapes of being able then to conduct the spacewalks. And so definitely though, as the NASA astronaut class continues to grow and you see more and more diversity and just people of all different body shapes and sizes, they're going to have to find a way to make sure that these suits can actually, you know, fit a wide range of people.
So what's the plan moving forward, Antonia? What have you found out from engineers and NASA leaders about the plan for the next generation of spacesuits and the next generation of astronauts?
Well, I mean, there are definitely, you know, ideas out there and NASA's looking at all of them, but the agency, I mean, still right now, they from what they told me, they're still looking at all the options, you know, internal options or external options. I know at FIT though, they actually one of the professors, his name's Andre Giduli, he and several classmates, they helped kind of create their own version of a spacesuit, and it wouldn't actually look like a suit, but it would be, in a way, it would kind of be better because it would be a mini spaceship an actual mini spaceship with these detachable robotic arms outside, where one astronaut can go inside it, and then the robotic arms would be providing and performing all the functions that are needed to repair the International Space Station. And that way, you know, anyone could fit into this spaceship. It doesn't matter, you know, if you are 6 foot tall or 5 foot tall, or anything, because it's meant to accommodate anyone. And so that's one option, but also that was mainly just for a competition and everything. So I'm not saying that NASA is actually looking at that, but then the agency is also, they are investing, you know, in this smart suit is what they're calling it, which would, you know, help provide, you know, these soft robotics technologies that allow astronauts to kind of better interact with their surroundings. And one of the cool functions about this smart suit is that it actually supposedly has, you know, self-healing skin. So if they were to get injured, the suits would actually heal them. But that's also in a very experimental phase right now. So I'm not even sure if that's going to continue or if the agency is going to further, you know, continue to provide funding for this. But it is an option. And then when I also spoke to Winston, he said he would like a kind of an Iron Man version of a spacesuit. I mean, honestly, I think that would be really fun too. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. As of right now, though, NASA still, they're still looking at all the options, and time is ticking.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, time is ticking because there is this new charge to put humans on the surface of the moon by 2024. Which means they're going to need another spacesuit for that. So, I mean, is this looking like it's going to happen in time?
That's a really good question. And honestly, I mean, if NASA wants to meet this goal, and they seem like they do, I mean, every time, you know, Jim Bridenstine, the NASA administrator, says that we are going to go to the moon by 2024, and, you know, we will put the next man and woman, then they're going to make sure they need to have the appropriate spacesuit, because the ones they currently have won't work. And in a recent meeting last month, you know, Bridenstine and also Bill Gerstenmaier, they had spoken and said that they will have a spacesuit available for the astronauts so that when they land on the lunar surface, they can actually walk on the moon. But they haven't provided any details as to what that is. And like I said, when I spoke with the agency, they said they're still looking at options. So I think it really just depends. If they if they're able to pull it off, then maybe. But I don't know if it's their main concern, or if their main concern is other, you know, other pieces of equipment that are also needed to get to the moon, like the Space Launch System or the Orion spacecraft. And so I guess really only time will tell.
And we should mention Bill Gerstenmaier is the head of human exploration efforts for NASA. There is quite a few things on NASA's checklist for a mission to the moon, and spacesuits is one of them. Definitely check out Antonia's piece in Florida Today that published earlier this month. Antonia Jarmillo is the space reporter at Florida Today. Antonia, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. It was great speaking to you too, Brendan.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. The conversation continues online. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search Are We There Yet Podcast, or send us a tweet. We're at AWTYMars. Or if you have a story idea or a guest pitch, send me an email. It's arewetherayet@wmfe.org. More space news is online at wmfe.org/space. This podcast is a production of public radio station WMFE in Orlando, Florida, and our theme music was composed by Kevin McLeod. Until next time, I'm Brendan Byrne. Thanks for listening.